Yeah. I really like to breathe. I've been really into it lately. In fact, I can't live without it. I want you to try it with me. Breathe a little. Doesn't that feel good? When I was in choir, we were taught how to breathe properly. If any of you have been in choir, you know how to breathe. What they taught us to do is that you breathe with your diaphragm. You expand the diaphragm, you breathe down here, and you take in as much air as you possibly can through your nose. And just when you think you can't take any more air in, you take a little more, and then you let it out slowly through your mouth. So let's all try that together. You ready? Here we go. Little more.
Oh, yeah, that feels pretty good. Gives you a little buzz, doesn't it?
You know why? It's because your brain's getting more oxygen than it's used to getting. And it's doing this little happy dance up there. And it's kind of like injecting nitrous oxide into your fuel injection system. It's like, woo, you're going. I've been thinking a lot about breathing and air the last couple weeks. And you know, all of us have been exposed to the power of air recently as we watched the newscasts of North Minneapolis and Joplin, Missouri, as a mighty rushing wind ripped through those towns. Air is a fascinating thing to think about. Do something with me. Put your hands up like this and go like this. Do you know what you're doing right now besides looking really silly? You're making waves. You can't see it because the gases are transparent. But if I put a little smoke into the air, you would see that your hands, there would be little rivulets like paddles in the water. Little rivulets of air would be spewing off the edge of your hands. And you would be making a ruckus, a turbulence in the atmosphere. Air is a pretty amazing thing. Air, it's all around us. It surrounds us. It encompasses us. Remember that first really humid day a couple weeks ago? It was just like, wow, you can feel the air clinging to you and the moisture hangs in it. But even when you can't feel it, you know that air is all around us all the time. And not only does air surround us and encompass us, it also permeates us. When my diaphragm expands, air is drawn into my lungs. And inside of my lungs, it's made up of millions of little tiny air sacs. And when the air goes into that air sac, there is this amazing thing that happens. There's an exchange that happens inside that air sac because the air sac is surrounded by little capillaries full of red blood cells. And those little red blood cells reach into the air sac and take oxygen out of the air, and then they speed it out to the rest of the body, and they go to a little cell all over our body, and they take that oxygen and they put it into the cell. And the cell takes that oxygen and boom! It explodes it. It burns it like fire. And it produces energy. And then that fire produces smoke and water. And the smoke is carbon dioxide. It's trash. And so the trash is dumped back into the red blood cell. And the red blood cell takes the trash carbon dioxide, rushes back to the little air sac in our lungs, dumps the trash into the air sac, and whew, takes it out into the atmosphere. So where does the air stop and my body begin? It permeates my body. And an even more amazing thing is that all around this planet, there are these organisms that eat our trash. They're called plants. Because we expel the trash into the atmosphere, and those plants take our carbon dioxide trash, and to them, it's the nectar of the gods. And they absorb that carbon dioxide, and they burn it into energy, and they expel their trash, which is called oxygen. And it floats around, and it comes into my lungs, and it goes in and I burn it and then I go back and forth. So basically what I'm saying is that we're all swimming around and breathing each other's trash. Isn't that beautiful? Or perhaps it is actually a beautiful picture of how God has designed everything to be interconnected through air. You know, in the Bible, the word for air in the Hebrew scripture is the word ruach. I want you to say it with me. Ruach. Now, you have to have a little spittle in the back of your throat when you say that in Hebrew. Ruach. Now, in the... Yeah, that's good. In the Greek scripture, the word for air is pneuma. Say it. Pneuma. Now, an interesting thing is that ruach and pneuma are also the word for spirit. And so if I were to say everything that I've said so far in this sermon and translate it back into Hebrew and Greek, I would say that the Spirit surrounds us, that the Spirit permeates us, and that the Spirit connects us. We breathe in and we breathe out. Last week, I woke up in my bed and I had this vision. And sometimes I get these pictures that just pop into my head. And it was this picture of people, hundreds of people, just all over Anoka County, just doing their thing, you know, kind of floating around at work and at school, at play, whatever. And then on Sunday morning, they all just gathered and they came into the sanctuary and worshiped God. And then they all went out, kind of dispersed into the wind, to do their thing. And then the next week they all came in and worshiped, and then they all went out. They came in and they went out. They came in. And I thought, that's like breathing. And it reminded me of our lesson in Acts chapter 2, where we see that God's people, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, were dispersed all throughout the empire. They were called the diaspora because for centuries they had been so persecuted that they had been driven out of Israel generation after generation. They were dispersed to what in their perspective was the ends of the earth. And in the Jewish culture, they celebrated three annual feasts. And the first one was in the fall. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And they would be drawn into Jerusalem, and for 7 days they would party. They would live in little booths and little tents. And I don't know, I hope you were here last fall when Pastor Mark explained the Feast of Booths to us. As I just remember him walking around the altar and pouring the water. It was just this beautiful picture, the Feast of Tabernacles. They would celebrate their 7 days, and then they would be dispersed out to the ends of the earth. And then in the spring, they would be drawn into Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, where they would celebrate the lamb that had been slain. They would remember the story of Moses, how he led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. They would celebrate the lamb that was slain, and then they would be dispersed out into the ends of the earth. And then 50 days later, 7 weeks, it was the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. And they would be drawn into Jerusalem, and at the Feast of Pentecost, they would celebrate the Torah, or the Scripture, where they believed that God had breathed into the words of Scripture, and they would celebrate that gift, and they would read Torah, and then they would go disperse out to the ends of the earth. Feast after feast, they were drawn in, and then they dispersed out. Year after year, they were drawn in, and they were dispersed out. And then on one Pentecost, God drew them into Jerusalem. And he breathed on them with a mighty rushing wind.
whoosh, boom.
And something dramatic happened. And that thing that happened was so powerful that they could only describe it like fire that burned them up. And the tongues of fire were over their head. And there was a transformation that took place that day, where cowering, simple Galilean fishermen were transformed into courageous, multilingual evangelists for the kingdom of Jesus. And then, they were breathed out to the ends of the earth. Pentecost, the day God breathed. Now, what's interesting is when you listen to John's version of that story, it's very different. John tells us a story that doesn't have special effects and pyrotechnics going on. John just gathered his disciples in for a meal, and he said, and he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Peace be with you. In my vision, I saw the people being drawn into the sanctuary, and I thought of a lung. And I thought, that's exactly what's happening when we are drawn into this place. There is an exchange that goes on. As God draws us into this place, we exchange our sin for the Spirit of God. Boom! It's like a fire. Because all week long, we are out there wrestling with our junk. We're wrestling with our fear, with our anger, with our greed and our pride, and we're turning blue. And then God draws us into this place, and we come into this tiny little place where a miracle happens. And God invites us to bring our garbage to Him, to bring our sin, and to lay it down right here. And then, boom, the Holy Spirit tells us and reminds us of the reality of Jesus, His life, His death, and His resurrection, that we can exchange our garbage for God's grace. And we are forgiven, and we are set free. And then we ingest it. We eat it as we chew the bread and drink the wine, and it goes into every cell of our body. And then God exhales. And He sends us out full of hope, full of the knowledge that we are loved by God, and that we can, in the power of God's Spirit, forgive others. And we are sent out into the world to proclaim that good news. It's a beautiful picture. And in my vision, I realized something, that this little sanctuary is not a lung, but it's just a tiny little air sac. Because my vision scoped out, and I saw that we have this tiny little air sac, but right over there is Riverdale Assemblies of God, and right across the street from them is Meadow Creek, and then over there is Zion Lutheran, and there's Anokla Wesleyan, and there's Epiphany, and there's Constance, and all of these tiny little air sacs, when you zoom out, they all together make the lungs of God as He breathes us in and sends us out. My sister-in-law, Melissa, had cystic fibrosis. It's a disease that affects the membranes and connective tissues of the body. Basically, they have too much mucus and they get all gummy. And it's most physically manifest in the lungs. And those tiny little air sacs get all gummed up. And it's kind of like putting rubber cement inside of a rubber balloon and trying to blow it up. It takes so much energy just to fill that sack with air because it's stuck that eventually all those little tiny sacks, they just collapse and they stick together and the lungs get filled up with gunk and they can't breathe. It's a terrible disease. Try it. Breathe like this. You can't breathe like that for long. So here's the question for us today. How well is God's body breathing? God draws us in all the time. Every day you can come into God's presence. Every week we gather collectively into the presence of God. But the question is, do you resist it? Do you say, no, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to come into your presence, God. I don't need it. I'm fine, as you're turning blue in the face. Or if you do come into the little air sac here, do you come in like this? No, God, I don't want you to see my junk. I don't want you to see my sin and my fear and my anger. I don't want you to see it. I don't want to let go. But can you imagine what it would be like if every person in every one of those little air sacs all over the world all came in deeply into the presence of God's grace and laid down their junk for real and received that gift of God's grace, boom, and transformed. And every one of us was exhaled with the hope of God's kingdom on earth. Can you imagine what that would sound like? That would be a mighty rushing wind. How well are we breathing today? My prayer is that we will come together and join God as God breathes. Amen. Let's stand. In the words of this song will just help us.